before we stand and pray and read the text, I will say to all of you, people that believe, believe what they want to believe because they just don't listen to anything else, as I've learned this week, the hard way. A person from this church, I have spoken on the doctrines of election and those doctrines for over 40 Sunday schools, and this person was unaware that I had ever talked about it, and they were in the Sunday school class. They were unaware that I had ever discussed the subject. Now, that's pretty unique. What we're going to discuss this morning, have I turned this thing on? Yes. Is this. Are you ready? What is man made of? What we have tried to, what I really want you to come down to is simple things. We are material, which is a body, and we are immaterial. Which is the you, the rest of you, you know. But now, ultimately, in eternity, look at me. In eternity, you will not be floating on some cloud as goop. You're going to have what? A resurrected body. Sorry, but it's different than a body. God's going to give you a body that never dies, never ages, doesn't have the problems that we have now. So, God always made us as this, friend. See that? God's original intent is that we live forever in the garden, but we didn't quite make that. Therefore, we started to die physically and spiritually immediately. Now, if you look on your notes, you have these notes? Let's look at the front page. Well, let's stand and read the text first. That's what we'll do, and then we'll go. And I'm going to have to hurry. Galatians 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in or by the Spirit, meaning the Spirit of God, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But how one defines this is going to impact what we mean by flesh. If you're in a typical, not being mean, I don't know how else to describe it, kind of the redneck side of fundamentalism, the moment you mention flesh, you have six or eight sins you're talking about. The problem is, Paul's probably not talking about any of those. He's not talking about this. Look at me. Ladies, he's not telling you your body is evil and sinful and wicked and you need to cover it up so a man can't even tell that you're a woman. You know, look like a Muslim. He's not talking about that. He's talking about what? What is flesh? It's your sinful human nature, which is not just part of the body, it's part of everything you are. Everything you are, which means it's also part of how you think. It's also part of your emotions. Does it affect your body? Yes. But it's not just your body. Are you all hearing me? Because you're going to go to churches where sin is relegated to the flesh, the physical, and everything else is untouched. Oh no, everything is touched. The fall through a hand grenade in every piece of you. So he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now he's speaking to a Christian who has the Spirit indwelling him or her, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will have the ability to live a godly life. But then he has this great verse, for the flesh, this fallen, sinful human nature, lust against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Have you ever figured out within you that you have different drives, inclinations, impulses? Have you ever figured out there are times that you want to do right and you don't? Why is it that you can be a Christian and want what's right but still want what's wrong at the same time? Or is that just what other people do? Oh, friends, by the way, let me say this to you. This is not a sermon on this. If this does not describe you, you're not a Christian. Because if the Spirit doesn't indwell you, you don't have this conflict. This is a conflict only believers have. Where you want to follow God, you want to worship God, you want to love God, and yet you want other things. That's the conflict. Let's continue. He says these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Well, let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this day. Bless our time, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Look in your notes on the front page. I'm going to recuperate. Whatever I'm going to do to it. I'm going to repeat the broad ideas. Number one, we are both material and immaterial. Now, if you came from a church, several of you did. Some of you didn't come from churches. You've been saved here, so you don't even have this kind of stuff hanging around in your background. Basically, Tim Durham, the only thing I'm interested in is you knowing you have a physical body and you have an immaterial whatever. But if you came from a certain background, when you got this all divided up. And this is the body, then you have a soul, then you have a spirit. Now the problem with that, of course, is what? Somebody tell me. Well, yeah, it's the Bible. That's the first thing that interferes with it. What else? Within the Bible, how does the Bible define the immaterial part of man? Well, I know about hundreds, but we found out that Ah Tong loves his wife with one kidney. Not two. You say, I never seen the word kidneys. No, it's translated reins, but it's always the Hebrew word two, plural, for kidneys. Why? Because it's describing us. So, in your notes, we are both material and immaterial. Number two, the immaterial seems to have more than one part or substance or elements. Under the verses, I say this. The scripture seems to use a bewildering array of descriptors. And I think the better thing for us to do, as opposed to saying, I'm body, soul, and spirit, is to say this. I'm material, I'm immaterial, or if you prefer this. There's the outer part of me. There's the inner part of me. And there are many ways the Bible describes the inner part of me. And the Word of God wants to shine a light. Look at me in the eyes. Wants to shine a light in every part of you. No parts missing. Now we're going to go to some of the bad repercussions, and I see it in our circles, and I'll even quote people and things that you're just like, really? See, I understand, if I understand one thing as a pastor and as a thinker, there are repercussions to beliefs. All right, so we'll skip all the verses, please. Go way, way over two, because we've already spent a couple weeks talking about this. Number three, way over to number three. You find number three? It says what? What does it say? Somebody tell me what number three says. Frenchie? The problem is, friend, if you go down this road here too far with this, you'll be so confused after a while you won't know your name. So I would just recommend you drop that language altogether, trying to figure out we're three parts. The Bible uses lots of terminology. Sometimes it's going to say when someone dies, they gave up the spirit. Sometimes they gave up the soul. And you say, which one did they give up? Here's what they gave up. They gave up themselves, the you. Not only one portion and one portion stayed kind of in limbo land and the body went in the grave. That's nonsense. Look at me. When you die, your body shuts off. You, all of you, that you, the immaterial, goes to be with the Lord. And how long does it take for you to get there? Exactly. That's all you really need to know. The parts are often used interchangeably. Genesis 41 talks about mourning. In the morning that his spirit was troubled, his ruachi. Psalm 42 talks about, oh my soul, why art thou disquieted? So he, in one place his spirit's bothering him, in his other place his soul's bothering him. But they're pretty much used interchangeably. Skip to John 12, 27. Now is my soul troubled. John 11, 33 talks about he groaned in the spirit. John 13, 21 says he was troubled in the spirit. These terms are used interchangeably. You cannot follow any place from them. Go down to Matthew 27. I'm not going to try to prove this. By the way, I couldn't prove this anyhow. Because if you're a person of two verses, you already know what the Bible teaches, and you don't need to know the Bible. So I'm not going to help you. But I'm just going to say to everybody, here's what you are. You have a body, then there's the rest of you. And you better let the Word of God get to the rest of you and not think that there's part of you that's okay. See, there's a lot of stupid talk in churches to kids. That's the reason I asked Brian for them to be here. There's stupid talk in kids that the only danger you have is you're young and sexual. No, your problem is everything about you, just like me, because we're fallen. And the conflict doesn't take place just because you have a body. The conflict takes place within who's in the driver's seat. Keep thy body with all diligence, right? Yes or no? Keep your heart, the center of your being. Be careful about playing games about where sin is located. Sin is every place. We'll look at more of this as we move forward. We'll look at these verses here quickly. Matthew 27:50, talking about the Lord Jesus. He yielded up the ghost or the pneuma, the spirit. Says it again in 23:46. He gave up the ghost. Stephen said the same thing. Receive my spirit. Next page. But in Genesis, says it, next page, Genesis 35. Well, maybe not the next page in your notes, because I have a little different page of pagination. Came to pass as her soul was departing. What? Was it her spirit departing or her soul? 1 Kings 17 also talks about this. Let the child's soul come again into him, but not the spirit. No, it's simply used for shorthand for the immaterial part of the person. Hear the total interchange here in Luke 1:46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced. Not different ideas. I will just touch on this last little statement under Hebrews, and I'm not going to read the Hebrews passage. I want to go to some very practical application if I can. I say this if you're taking notes. These are probably indistinguishable to us. I don't think if you go to the Bible and you look up the word heart and you look up the word kidneys, for some of you that were listening, and it's in your notes, by the way, so you don't have to pray about this. Most of the time, the Bible's using kidneys and heart together. Do you think with your kidneys? It's an image, folks. You don't think with your heart either, though I've heard Baptist pastors say that. Think with your heart. No, you think with what? Do you think the people in the Bible knew you thought with your brain? Yes. But at the same time, it uses images. It's just like we use images. Sometimes we'll say, you got to go with your gut. What do we mean by that, Tim? If I say go with your gut, what do I mean by that, really? Usually it has something to do with go with what comes to you first. And by the way, then this gets into a book Christy could come up here and speak about called Blink, right? Where he talks about you need to learn to blink, go with your gut, and then there's other times you need to learn to think, analyze through things. By the way, folks, we use these images constantly. The Bible does too. So don't get weird. But now I want to come to the payoff because there's a place we need to go. In your notes. The parts must never be separated or divided up. The parts must never be separated or divided up. The word dichotomy means two. I think you know that. Trichotomy means three. Polychotomy means many. But here's the thing in the Bible. We are always seen and addressed as a unity. Always. We are seen and addressed as a unity. One person. You. Or if it's talking about me, I. So folks, here is the oldest man in our church. Maybe the world, actually. How should Frenchie look at himself? I need to make sure I don't follow the flesh. Actually, I think most people's problem at a certain age, they follow this thing here too much. And their mind leads them astray, but they don't think their mind is sinful. It's just your impulses. By the way, folks, everything about us is affected. There's nothing left out. The way you think, the way you don't think, the way you feel, the way you don't feel, everything has been affected. So when you think of Frenchie, I'll speak to Frenchie to all of you, you got to think about you. You are a unit, a unity. Please don't go any other place. In your notes, The danger lies in what we do with this. Number one, it's not numbered. Here is the number one danger if you've never been around this. Are you guys ready? Ranking the parts. Mike, I think you told me you have heard this in the past. I heard an entire sermon that said the spirit is over the soul, which is over the body. It sounds good. It's good preaching. I don't know what it means, but here's the problem, Frenchie. I'm pretty sure you're all three of those at the same time, and you're one person. You don't rank things. The reason you rank things, by the way, is somebody tell me why a pastor would rank things. Maybe, but why would you rank things? Christy, I saw you hit Tom. Were you hitting Tom or raising your hand? Yes. Good answer. Sometimes it's a mystery. We'll get to more of this as we go. Look in your notes. Don't rank, by the way, you're one person. Look at me. Your body is not more or less than any other part of you. Actually, you're one person with two parts, immaterial and material. Don't try to rank things, but I heard a whole sermon on how your spirit has to control your soul, which has to control your body. It was pretty bad, especially since the Bible never talks about it. But why would that interfere with us? Yes, sir. Thanks, Mike. It assumes the spirit is sinless or nearly so. Is that correct? So you got to follow your spirit. I'm assuming everything about us is sinful. That doesn't mean we always do evil, because we have the Holy Spirit living within. We have the Word of God and we have the people of God. So therefore, by the way, what's the most important thing for you? To have some good friends? Yes or no? Yes, the Word of God, the people of God, and the Spirit of God is your only hope of doing right. You have something internal, you have a Bible, and you have people. If you don't have that, you're in trouble. You don't play this game. Yeah, that is exactly it. It assumes that there's a part of you that's okay. And then the soul is a little bit less okay, and the body is really not okay. Yes. As I said the very first Sunday, I was in the flesh. We don't use the old Flip Wilson. No, I'm just saying, we don't use the devil. Maybe we do it. We'll say, I was in the flesh. I've heard people say that. I got in the flesh. Do me a favor. Look at me in the eyes. Get out of the flesh right now, please. That's the dumbest statement I've ever heard. I mean, you're a person. But it's one of these things. It's a game we play, and you're right. It's like, well, it wasn't really me that did it, it was my flesh. Where have we heard that before? Lord? Somebody's in the flesh back there, I know. By the way, folks, didn't somebody in Genesis 3 say, it's the woman you gave me? So now we can say, God, it's the body you gave me. Yeah, Brother Mike. Yes, I'm going on visitation. Tithing, I'm tithing. Yes, indeed. Next in your notes, this is part of the same process. Then giving a specific function to each part. And folks, I'm sorry that I'm going to do this, but I am going to do this because I read this in a person that's a trichotomist. So there's a reason I'm going here, because I really want you to understand yourself. Here it is. The guy said this: you have a spirit. The spirit relates to God. You have a soul, you have a body, and the soul, how did he say it? I want to get it right. The soul relates to the life of the mind, or ideas. And the body relates to the world, like the world around us. All right, everybody look at me. I'm going to do something to my favorite person, but I'm not going to do it hard. If I come over here and pinch her, look at me in the eyes. How does she know I'm pinching her? Ron, tell me how she knows. How does she feel it? Where does she feel it from? Not her shoulder. Her shoulder doesn't feel a thing. Thank you very much. Everything comes from the same source, friend. This is your body doesn't relate to the world. You relate to the world. Because why do you relate to the world? God made you to relate to the world. God gave you eyes to see. He gave you ears to hear. He gave you a mouth to taste. He gave you a nose to smell. He gave you these things. But by the way, these things do not feel. It has to be interpreted by this thing. So this kind of stuff gets goofy, but it sounds so spiritual when a pastor says it. Oh, folks. But Mike, we're still back to the same thing. If the spirit relates to God, what's the good part? What's the good part? And what's the bad part? And if you tell people, I have a PhD in biochemistry, and I'm a professor, they kind of, well, but you could have been a missionary. Why do they say that? Look at the logic, please. This is just okay, the ideas of the mind. But the real action's up here. No, the real action is you doing what God wants you to do, period. So if God wants you to be an engineer, praise God. God wants you to be a nurse, praise God. God wants you to be a missionary, praise God. There is no higher or lower, but this is a game that we played in our circles for far too long. Far too long. So giving a specific function to each part. Now, folks, I'm sorry, but the next one came directly from a document. I give you the people's names so you can check if you would like, okay? I got it online, but it was a long document and they were trichotomist. I'm not going to write this, but if you have notes, you can write it. This author said this: the spirit is capable of responding to God. And to some degree, he said this: the spirit is unfallen and able to respond to God. So, Brian, the next time you're up there with that old Bowder guy, and we're discussing grace, if you want to know the difference between a biblical Calvinist and a biblical Arminian, biblical Calvinist says you cannot be saved apart from grace, but specific grace. An Arminian says, a true Arminian says exactly the same thing, except they say God's grace is given to everybody equally, which doesn't explain anything, but at least they're the same place. But a semi-Pelagian says, you don't even need grace, because there's a part of you that's unfallen, your spirit. And your spirit is capable of responding to God all on its own. So salvation is of yourself, and a little bit of the Lord. Yes. Boy, isn't it weird how ideas trickle out into weird places? May I say this? I heard this from a person. The person said, write to me. You don't need grace. Your spirit's capable of responding to God on its own. Really? Turn your Bibles. Look at John chapter 3. You talk to me about that, please. John 3. By the way, if you want to understand salvation, you need to get over what a lot of Baptists have been teaching for about 100 years, that salvation is, you know, I went forward, signed my name 39 years ago, haven't been in church, haven't followed Christ. By the way, the only time you know you're saved is if something like this happens. John 3:19, this is the condemnation. By the way, this is Jesus speaking. That light is come into the world, and men, what? By the way, didn't believe in darkness, they what? You have to be able to explain something to me. The difference between a saved person and an unsaved person, It's not some intellectual ideas. God changes you to such a degree instantly by His grace that you went from being a person that hated this stuff to being a person that loves Christ. Now, you can go back to the old Baptist belief of 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and the whole world's in heaven now. We get idiots, and I'm sorry to say this, from Hiles Anderson and those kind of schools that go to Thailand. They put the Romans Road, 4 verses, they get somebody to translate it into Thai with a little prayer. They walk up to Thai people. They cannot speak the language. Have them listen to it, get them to bow, you know, and tell them to bow their heads and pray. They say they have won half the people in Thailand to Christ. But the problem is those Thai people still love their idolatry. My friend, look at me in the eyes, young people. I cannot save you. I can't even change anything about you. Only God can. Because this is not an intellectual issue. This is a matter of love and hate. And only God can, by the way, only grace and the Spirit of God can do that. How do you explain somebody that was going this way is now going this way? We're not talking about signing your name on the dotted line. I've heard that nonsense. Oh, my goodness. Keep reading. This is the condemnation that light has come into the darkness, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And everyone that doeth evil, what's that word? Oh, they hate the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Of course, there's something different on the inside. I won't go any farther with that. Look in your notes. Let me go through this very quickly. Spirit is capable of responding to God, and it is basically not impacted by the fall, according to this view. The soul is sinful and easily misleads us. According to these authors, the body is the center of sin. The body is the source of all of our problems. Now, this is the authors I have listed, so I'm not making this up. Did you just hear me? Your problem is not your spirit, it's not your soul, it's your body. And the author said this exact statement: when we sin, it is because we suppress the spirit and act out of the soul and body. I don't even have words for that right there. I have absolutely no words for that. Young people, I asked Pastor Brian to bring you down here for a reason. I think most of you are saved in this room, but I don't know that yet. You're not the first kid that's ever come through this church. And here's the problem. Well, as long as you're with mom and dad and they love you and feed you and take care of you, we don't know what you love. What's the first great commandment? Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. You know the verse? Hear, O Israel. You know the Shema? Shema Yisrael. You know, thou shalt love the Lord. Thou shalt what? By the way, you don't get saved by loving God. You're saved, and then you love God. Here's the problem. I don't know what people love. I used to think I knew. Now, do I hope? Yeah, I hope so. I think most of you've got it. But I've been proven wrong before. And here's the bad part. And I say this to kids, I think most of you know I care for you very deeply. I can't fix you. I can't reason with you. I can't talk to you, because this becomes something that's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the center of you. It's a matter of love and hate. And guess what? Only God in the new birth can change you. In most of your cases, I think He's done that. But let me ask you, parents, do you think time tells? Yes or no? So when I see somebody that sits in a church service, not none of you, frankly, none of you, and they sit in a church service week after week after week, and you just see them, I'm not doing that. The problem is they're speaking, oh, I believe, but they're telling you, I hate this stuff. So which am I supposed to believe? Which is true? By the way, folks, what you love and what you hate is where the action is. And God's the one that gives us the love for Him. So only hope. Let's continue. I think I have something else here. Do I have something else here? Yeah, the empty room theory. This is a theory by some psychologists, so I just want you to put that there. Some psychologists teach, Christian psychologists teach this. And the empty room theory is what it's called. The spirit needs a pastor. The soul needs a psychologist. And the body needs a doctor. And the joke is, underneath that, I said, obviously the last two rooms tend to grow. So after a while, a pastor's job is this much. And the psychologist's job is this much. And actually, I would tell you right up front. Please look at me. I'd tell you right up front. You're suffering from depression? Don't look at your spirit. Don't look at your soul. Look at your body. Begin at the beginning. You are how many people? Three, two, or one? Start with you. By the way, I'd start with a doctor. I'd make sure my physical condition's good because physical condition has a lot to do with whether you're depressed or not. Number two, I'd make sure I'm eating right. Boy, this sounds spiritual, doesn't it? Drinking plenty of fluids, exercising a lot. By the way, I get depressed when I don't exercise. How about you? Now, young people, don't have to exercise, but old people, yeah. You know, Superman here, he could take off 6 months, go right back at it. He'd be sore for 3 minutes the next day. I exercise 3 or 4 times a week. If I take off 5 days, it's like restarting the clock. See, you don't know that. Just trust me, Superman, one day you will. It's like, I didn't get to do it last week. Urgh! By the way, I'd start with the body. What about the soul and the spirit? I'd start with the body, and then I would start answering hard questions. But look at me, folks. I wouldn't divide people up and say, you need to go to a psychiatrist to make sure your soul's good, whatever that is. Go to the pastor, make sure your spirit's good. That's called the empty room theory. There's a lot of empty room here, but it's not very biblical. Let's move on, please. Look on the next page. Here's where we want to conclude. The parts can only be and must only be understood as a unity. As a unity. The parts can only be and must only be understood as a unity. Meaning unity, meaning what? You are a person, a complex unity. Folks, we are, I don't know how you define this. You know, when you start putting heart, then you put spirit, then you put kidneys, and then you put the words that I haven't even pronounced today, koilia, and I don't even know how to spell off the top of my head, splunkna. Something like that. And you start putting those, it's like, where do you stick all those things? Don't worry about it. It's simply ways of saying this. Tim Duram, your name is Tim, and that's who you are. And what causes you to do wrong? You. Because you are all of those things. You're not part of those things. You can't chop off your part of yourself and stick it over here and say, this part's good, it's this part over here that's bad. It's you. How many things affect you? Please look at me. How many things affect you? I said something last week about an individual. It doesn't need to be taped, so I'll take it off. His family fell apart in the Great Depression. It fell apart really at the beginning of marriage. Right after my dad's mom and dad were married, they had a son named, what was his real name? We call him Ozzy, but he had a different name. He never lived with my mom and dad. He lived with the grandparents. You know that's a problem, don't you? When little children don't live with mom and dad. My dad never knew till he died really why he didn't live with them. But my dad, his sister, a couple years younger, and his brother, a couple years younger than that, So over about a five-year span or six-year span, there were three kids. My dad, Aunt Bessie, and Uncle Howard. Now, please listen to me. Do you know what impacts you? Everything. When my Uncle Howard died, I visited him a week or two before he died. We happened to be Southern Illinois. I wanted to go see him because I knew he was dying of cancer. When I got over there, and I'm going to say this straight, it was obvious to me as a pastor, when his dad and mom family blew up, dad abandoned the mom, though they never had much of a marriage and weren't together much before that. Mom lived hand to mouth. Both of my Uncle Howard and the Aunt Bessie, look at me, never got over their childhood. But it showed up in different places. Because you know what gets impacted by sin? Not only the sins you commit, but sins that are committed on you. It affects all of you. Uncle Howard, the last time I saw him, I looked at him and I thought, oh my goodness. Have you ever seen a little 3 or 4 year old boy looking for his mother? Answer the question. Lige, when Lige gets hurt, who does he want to see? You? Really? He's twisted. This boy here wanted to see one person. Mom. I still remember, I said it in kindergarten graduation. What was his name? Who was the little boy that graduated? Chris, do you remember? The little boy, I said it in the night, or you might not have been there. Who was that guy? There's so many graduates. There was a little guy, K-5 kid. First day in class, he came here. Austin. And I mean, Austin walked up to me, tears like quart jars. I miss my mommy. And I said to him, I miss my mommy too. My uncle lived his whole life smoking 4 packs a day. Some of you think that's about smoking. It's like drinking, folks. Drinking is bad, but you know the bigger problem is what, Frenchie? Why you're drinking. By the way, until the Holy Spirit can shine some light on that, you haven't gone anyplace. You think I got a problem with drinking. No, you got a problem deeper than drinking. Same with smoking. Oh, by the way, my Aunt Bessie, I've told this story before. My Aunt Bessie, about 3 years or 4 years before she died, she moved with her oldest daughter, which is the oldest cousin, my cousin Wilma. For whatever reason, Wilma moved to South Carolina for about 2 years. So Aunt Bessie moved from Southern Illinois to South Carolina to stay with her daughter. And Aunt Bessie was there about a week and said, I want to go back home. Okay. She went back home. Wilma's in South Carolina, and she found out that her mother, are you listening? Will rent an apartment, and after 4 weeks, moved to another apartment. And after 6 weeks, moved to another one. She went through 15 or 20 apartments in a period of a year. Anybody have an idea what that was? That's exactly what she was doing when she was a kid. She was reenacting exactly what happened to her as a kid. Look at me, friend. If you want to grow in grace, you don't grow in grace by being pious, sitting in a seat, smiling at me. You grow in grace by getting in the hard look at your ugly heart. That's where the action is. The Word of God gets down to where we live, and it starts asking those questions, why are you doing this? You say, why? Because we are a whole person. You can't separate us up. I got about 5 minutes. I'm going to have to hurry. Does this make sense to you? Yes or no? Some people never do that. Some people literally think they go to a church where if you have the King James Bible and you have your hair cut right and women wear dresses, bless God, everything's good. Oh my God, you go to those churches and you find out these people on the inside are a disaster. But why are they a disaster? Because they've checked some boxes off, but nothing's happened to the heart. My friend, the only hope you and I have of salvation is God. And the only hope of growth you have is God. Well, let's look at the text. And the very God of peace sanctify you what? Which means all of you. I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body, and by the way, everything else you are, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. This is a Ralph Warrenism in your notes. God himself will do his whole work on the whole man. God himself will do his whole work on the whole man so that we are wholly ready to see him. And we can be wholly sure of this. There's only one hope I have. If you're saved, the God who saved you at a time is going to keep working on you. And this is the reason some people, this is their solution to life. Not here, not in this room, but some people go from church to church to church because every time the heat gets turned up, every time the light flashes into their soul, they got to go some other place. Not realizing, how do you think God is going to change you? By having you ignore why you're doing what you're doing? No, he's going to look right at your soul, point the light. But by the way, is it painful? Yes. But it's also the place you find grace and help. And let us come boldly unto the throne of, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All right, let's keep. I'm not going to read all that. I'm going to conclude with some statements at the bottom, please. First of all, and I don't have to say we, but I didn't want to make this individual and point the finger at you. We as individuals, we are a unity. We are a unity. We will be a unity, meaning 10 million years from now. Oh, Atong over here is still going to be material and immaterial. Both kidneys will love Jenny Lynn, though, in the millennium, I promise. Because you will be transformed. And if you're not transformed before that, Jenny Lynn might cut out one of your kidneys, and then you won't have a choice. Next, we are a complex unity, both material and immaterial. We exist, act, think, and live only as what? A unity. So don't come up to me and say, well, you know, I got drunk yesterday. I got in the flesh. I'm going to hit you with some flesh. No, you got drunk yesterday because you have reasons you want to drink. Now, none of you will do this. I do believe that. I believe most of you in this room are much smarter than this. But a young kids that come to our church school, and you know some of them, and they go to college, and they become intelligent. And they think drinking is a wonderful thing. Why are they drinking? Carly, why are they drinking? I can't hear you. Their friends are doing it, and what does that mean? They want to fit in. So what do you need to go after in order not to drink? The drink or the motivation? Yes. It's not about, oh man, I have a gene that just makes me a drunk. What? No, you want to fit in and maybe you become a drunk. I hope not. Lastly, we must never go beyond this complex unity. We never go beyond this complex unity. I think if everybody in this room understands this, if you leave today and you say, Pastor, I grew up on trichotomy, bless God, I'll be trichotomous till I'm dead. Fine. But leave it right there. Don't go anyplace with it. Because here, look at me, here's who you are. You. If you drink, you drink. It's not my spirit's not drinking, but my body is. What? No, you're drinking. And God wants to change all of you. But how does he change us? By the way, here's a good question. How does he change all of us? By focusing on the outside? No, he cleans the outside, takes care of itself naturally, of course. So may I say this to you? I'll say this to all of our young people since I have them this last day. When I got out of the, when I was in high school, I drank, smoked pot. I even smoked cigarettes a little bit. Very little. I never got the point of cigarettes because it was like, why do you suck this stuff into your... So I probably smoked 3 packs in all of my life over a period of 5 or 6 years. Can I tell you something? I'm being straight with you. Do you know what got me over the drinking, pot smoking? It was twofold. It was when God brought me to the place where I decided, listen, to identify with Christ. And I didn't care, Carly, what those other people thought about me. Why would you care anyhow? 2 years from now, you'll never see them again. Isn't it a good day when people don't control your life? Once I decided to identify as a Christian and not identify as cool, you say, you're not very cool. No, I'm not. Don't care. Thank you. That was a non sequitur, Frenchie. Let's stand and we're going to pray. Thank you for being here this morning. Hopefully this was helpful.